Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Thank you for joining us today and listening in. I am your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and with me today as my co-host, Sinian Zhang Durbin.
Welcome to Local Talk, and thank you for listening in.
Sinian is a member of the Ames community who is held in high esteem by many. And she has done a great deal to support music in our community, and she trains contestants of the Iowa Science Olympiads at the Ames Middle School. Is that right?
Yes.
And who, by the way, are undefeated in the state of Iowa. Sinian also sits on the KHOI Board of Directors, but she is co-hosting today's show with me within a completely different and very specific capacity. Sinian, you and I decided to get together today and again on Monday to host Local Talk for a very specific reason. Would you explain?
Yes. Well, first of all, I would like to thank you for including Chinese New Year as a topic in your Local Talk program. This is very special to me as a Chinese American, and I'm sure the Chinese American community in Ames would be very appreciative for the KHOI effort to reach out to them as a minority group.
In anticipation of today's show, you sent some members of the Ames community who came from China to describe how the Chinese New Year's is celebrated in various ways, and I had a really wonderful time interviewing them, and I'm excited to share segments from these interviews. Now, China, of course, is a very large country with very different regions, so before we start, can you explain a little bit how you chose the people for these interviews?
I basically chose these people from different regions, knowing that the different regions have different way of celebrating the Chinese New Year, which is the most significant festival and holiday in China. And since they practice varies so much in many ways, in many other ways, they're similar. So that's my criteria.
Okay. Now, after we hear from them, I'd like to ask you as well about your memories of celebrating the New Year. But before we start the interview, was there anything else that you wanted to say about this festival?
Yes. Another new Chinese New Year begins on February 8th in the East Hemisphere. It would be 11 a.m. on February the 7th here in Ames. By recorded Chinese history, this will be the 4,714th year.
Wow.
The Chinese New Year is reckoned by the lunar cycle. Each month starts on the new moon. It reaches its 15th day with a full moon and continues to complete the month of either 29 days as a short month or 30 days as a long one. Hence, a Chinese year has nominally 354 days in a year. So that is why the Chinese New Year days always fall on different days by the solar or Gregorian calendar. To sync with the solar system, the ancient Chinese astrologist created a leap year system, whereby every so often, roughly every 3 years, there would be a 13-month year in the lunar calendar. So when talking about the age of China, one needs to visit the topic of the Chinese zodiac system. That's their numbering system. It is a two-digit labeling system. The Chinese ancestors count the years, months, and days, and even hours. There is a group of 10 labels that's called Tiangan, and another group of 12 labels that use the names of 12 animals.
And this year is
the monkey. Yes. And so the number of a year is a combination of one number from each of the two groups. For instance, the coming year that you just mentioned is the year of the monkey, and actually the name of the year is called Bingshen because it carries two digits. Now, this gets a little bit mathematical. The least common factor of 10 and 12 is 60. So the two groups of labels from the form 60 combinations. That means every 60 years, the number of Chinese a year would repeat because there are only 60 numbers, basically. And that is the name of the... So that is the name of the first year and the name of the 61 61st year will be the same. So how do we do it? How did they do it? So I don't know how our ancestors kept track of the numbering system,
right,
but there,
yeah,
there was one. I assume there must be another identifier that could be the name of the ring of a dynasty or the emperor's name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did not. I don't know. Yeah. So with the Gregorian calendar globalized, the Chinese zodiac system has long been of little significance,
right,
except for the fortune tellers,
mm-hmm,
who remain to be proficient and fluent in the ancient algorithm to study the Chinese horoscope.
Right. Everybody that I interviewed in the last few days said that the zodiac for them was more entertainment than anything else.
Yes, it's of the, mm-hmm, of the recreational value now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So for Chinese New Year, it has such a high calling power, I should say. It's an ancient tradition of thousands of years that all Chinese natives and Chinese diasporas around the world continue to observe. So that's a short, mm-hmm, short introduction mm-hmm, of this
thank
season.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's well. I'm excited to share some of these interviews. I had a wonderful time speaking with these people. I have to say, it's just a real pleasure to get to know them. And the first description that I wanted to share with you was given by Jingtao Wang.
Yes.
And Jingtao lives in Ames with her family. She's an educational assistant at Fellows School and also works part-time at the Ames Public Library. And she comes from Harbin in China.
Harbin, mm-hmm.
That's the largest city in the province, and I would ask you to pronounce the name of the province.
Heilongjiang Province.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's one of the largest cities in China with about 3.5 million residents and has a really remarkable history. And its proximity to Russia has played a large part in the history and its cultural identity. And in fact, Jingtao told me that when she was young, many of her classmates in school were children from Russian families. And although children today are taught English in school, when she was a child, they were required to learn Russian.
That's true. And actually, Harbin is only about 300 miles from the Chinese-Russian border.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so close, in a very close proximity. So one of the most well-known tradition and the celebration is Ice Snow Sculpture Festival. It's internationally known.
Jingtao gave a description of that festival.
We have a big river named Songhua River. The river will be freezing up to, I think, more than 10 feet. It's really big, big ice.
Do people skate on the river?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And also, 20, 30 years ago, the truck drove on the river.
The trucks?
The trucks, yes. When I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, I still remember the truck can drive on the river during the winter.
And they use it as a road?
Yeah, like a road, because more than 10 feet ice is
right,
really tough.
Right.
Yeah.
Do people ice fish?
Yes, they do ice fish. But mm-hmm, the famous part is the workers, they will take ice from that river, a cube, 3 feet times 3 feet. And the artist and the workers, they work together in the city, a park. They will build up castles from January 5th until March 15th, I believe. We will have ice and the snow festival. And they move the ice from the river and they build up very huge building,
wow,
in 1 month.
And you can go in the building?
Yes. So it's just like this huge building people can walk in. It's just like a crystal. Very beautiful, like glasses. You
mm-hmm,
can see how beautiful it is, like a mirror. And during the night, actually, it's colorful. Because the artist and the engineering, they put the light, color light, in
wow,
the ice.
Wow.
So that is really famous from my hometown.
Yeah. So you must have loved that as a child.
Yes.
What is the life of the city that you're in?
Industrial city.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 16 colleges.
So 16 colleges?
Yeah, 16 uh-huh, colleges. So it's really huge.
Did you enjoy living there?
Yes, yeah, because the culture is multiple culture now. For example, even the New Year, we like, because Harbin actually is more like immigration city. So people, when we celebrate New Year, we have many, many different ways.
I asked Jintao how she remembers celebrating New Year's Eve with her family.
About 5 to 6 o'clock, family will come together. We will eat together. The oldest people will start. We will have a lot of different foods per plate.
Lots of different food?
Yes, but the number must be the even number.
There has to be an even number of different types of food?
Yes.
Okay.
So, for example, you can have 2 kinds of the food, or 4, or 6, or 8, or 10. Because in China, even number is really good.
Even numbers are good luck?
Even number is like a pair. Okay.
So it's balanced.
It's balanced. So even number is really good. For every New Year, when my parents cook the food, they always ask me to count how many we have to make it go to the even number. We must leave the sum on each plate. We could not eat all of the food. If you eat all, it means we eat all of the luck from the last year.
That so is, of each food, you have to leave a little bit.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're using up your luck.
Yes. Luck from the old year. The luck from the old year will continue to New Year.
How did you feel about this when you were a child?
You know, you don't have to clean up the plate and you don't have to wash them. So it was really wonderful.
One very interesting and enjoyable aspect of the celebration was a very playful tradition of ascribing symbolic meaning to different foods for the feast.
We usually have roasted rooster.
Roasted rooster, so you eat rooster.
Yeah.
The rooster is lucky.
Yes, because of pronunciation. Rooster in Chinese is ji, and lucky in Chinese is ji. Yeah.
So are you saying that the way the word sounds like something else?
Yes.
It pronounces?
Yeah, pronounce.
So
it's really close. Mm. So how rooster is we have hope in New Year. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of luck. Also, we have the fish, seafood. And for the fish, it sound like yu. And for the extra money, it's same sound, yu. So it's more like in the New Year, we will have more money than this year. So we want to have extra money.
Extra money.
Yes.
And you eat fish.
Yeah. And after that, we will make a dumpling. So exactly on the 12 o'clock, because from 12 o'clock is a new year, we will cook a new dumpling.
At 12 o'clock.
And at 12 o'clock.
That's the new year.
Exactly, yes, because that's the new year. The dumpling, you know the dumpling is to make everything inside. So that is pretty much like put all the family, put all the lucky, put every good thing inside, and we will have them in the new year. Yep.
And what do you actually put in the dumpling?
A lot of vegetable and the meat. And actually, for the vegetable, we have fish inside. For example, if we put the lemongrass, in Chinese is jiu cai. It's more, jiu is mean forever. So if you put that mean, it mean, yeah, this new year, you know, maybe family forever, friendship forever, happiness forever. And we also, if we put the celery, that vegetable, you put the celery inside. Celery's name in my hometown is qin cai. It's more related to work hard.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
it's interesting how you connect meaning with sounds.
Yes, because it's New Year.
So it's a game for New Year.
It's a game, yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Very nice.
And, yeah.
And when you did this as a child, did it make you feel like you were lucky or that the family was together?
It was really, really fun because you make the dumpling all together with the family.
Mm-hmm. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Thank you for joining us and listening in. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and with me today is Cindy and Zhang Durbin, and we are sharing some of the Chinese New Year with you. Chinese New Year's Eve will be this Sunday night, and Cindy and arranged for a number of Chinese-born residents of Ames to share their memories with us. Jintao comes from Harbin in the very northeast corner of China, very close to the Russian border, and the evening she describes was really a New Year's Eve of fun and lengthy meal until midnight.
And by exactly 12 o'clock, my parents will cook the dumpling, And I and my brother and friends, we need to go outside to go fair walk.
So at 12 o'clock, there's fireworks.
Yes.
Are they beautiful?
It's really, really beautiful. And very, very loud.
Are they similar to what you've seen in the United States, or is it different?
It's different because here it's a little small, but in my hometown for the New Year, it's huge and make a lot of noise.
So the night goes on until late, right?
Until late. Uh-huh. So after we did the first walk, and we go back, and we must eat dumplings all together.
So you, the children go out to watch the fireworks.
Yes. No, we're also doing that.
Oh, you do fireworks?
Yeah, we are doing that.
Okay,
yeah.
So you go out and you yes. set off fireworks.
Yes, yes.
And so when you're done doing that, you come in.
Yes.
And you eat dumplings.
Yes.
And it's cold out. The New Year's celebrations lasted for 15 days.
This is the first day of New Year, and our young generation, we needed to dress in new clothes, the winter coat.
On New Year's Day, you have to wear new clothes.
Yes.
So you get a new winter coat.
Yes, a new winter
every
coat.
Year?
Every year.
Okay.
Wear the new coat, and it was a really lucky day, because if we go anywhere, the people in my parents' generation, or my grandparents' generation.
So you go to different people's houses?
Yes, and they will give us red envelope. It's money inside. It's a red envelope.
A red envelope.
Yes, and it's money inside.
A red envelope with money.
Yes.
That's nice.
That is really nice.
And the red is luck?
Red is the Chinese color.
So you go around and you collect money?
Yes, we collect the money and the candy.
And candy?
Yes. Oh, we can eat all the candy. Bad news is my parents always take the money from us.
Oh, really?
Really. Yeah, I think every children had that memory, yeah. My parents will give other kids money, you know.
Oh, so everybody's passing the money
around. Yeah, so passing money around. You know, here we set a card to each other.
Right. And does the New Year celebration last more than one day?
Yes.
How long does it last?
I believe for every day we have different name on that. And for the seven, people eat a noodle because they believe noodle will make people's relationship strong.
Noodles make relationships strong.
Yes. So that is the seventh day. Mm-hmm. And after seventh, people just go back to work.
After the seventh day.
Yes.
So for 7 days, people take a vacation.
Vacation, yes. Uh-huh. It is nice.
And do a lot of people visit each other? Or what do people travel? Or
time for visit the family. It's not good for the travel. It's the time for your family. However, school is not started yet. Mm-hmm. School started by the March 1st.
So school doesn't start till March 1st?
Yes.
When you were a child, what did you do during this time?
Oh, we had too much homework.
You would do homework?
Yes, every day. Mm-hmm. So actually, the winter break is more like a homework break. The 15th is the last day of the new year.
How does it end?
We eat another kind of dumpling. That dumpling is round. It's like a bing bong balls.
Oh, wow. So it's like a ball.
Yes, it's like balls and white color. And uh-huh. It's something inside. And we eat that. That is the end of the new year. Yes.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And my name is Ursula Rudenberg. I'm your host. And I'm here with Cindy and Zhang Durbin. And we're sharing with you some memories of the Chinese New Year that Ames residents have from their childhoods in China. Sinian, would you introduce the next person that we want to share?
Yes. Professor Cindy Yu is a faculty member at the Statistics Department at Iowa State University. She came from a southern west city in China called Chengdu. If you sometimes you pay attention, if you receive a new Apple, iPod, or iPhone in a package, you turn the back, it's made in Chengdu.
Okay.
So there is a huge manufacturer by Apple in Chengdu.
It also is the site of a historic winery. Can you describe the city at all? What kind of economic base it has?
Wine, making wine. So it's pretty famous wine. It's called Wu Liang Ye.
Where's the wine grown?
We actually made wine out of the grains. It's rice, barley, five kinds of grains. The factory which made wine has a very, very old history. Yeah, so it's a very famous wine in China. people are pretty laid back in that city, and we enjoyed life and the family.
I asked Cindy to describe how her family celebrated the New Year when she was a child in China.
Relatives, family members, wherever they are, they made their effort to travel back to home. So we have a big family reunion. So we, of course, we have a big feast.
Are there traditional foods?
Yes. For south part of China, we like rice cake. Of course, we have other, you know, wonderful dishes, you know, prepared by parents. Yeah, we have a variety of good foods. But the main dish for north part is dumplings. For south part is a rice cake, yeah.
Are the rice cakes made at home?
Yes. Rice cakes made out of sticky rice. It's just big feast in the New Year Eve. And then followed by watching the big performance program on TV, which we call Gala. So 4-hour long program, performance program, collecting a variety of wonderful performance, singing, dance, acrobats, and magic shows, yeah, all kinds of things. And then we just, yeah, gather together.
Who organizes the program? Whose production is that?
This is actually by CCTV. Central government has a TV channel. So they organize this gala, this big show. So for everybody in China, this is the biggest and time for us to watch that TV, you know. So New Year Eve from about 8 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight.
This is Local Talk, and I'm Ursula Rudenberg here with Sinian Zeng Durbin, and we are sharing some of the Chinese New Year with you. Chinese New Year's Eve will be on Sunday, February 7th, here in the United States, and then on February 8th will be the beginning of the Year of the Monkey. Cindy Yu, Ames resident and professor of Iowa State of Statistics, is describing how she celebrated the Chinese New Year as a child. And after a large family feast ending with firecrackers, she described how the remaining 15 days of the New Year holiday was spent in her city.
Most exciting time is the New Year Eve and the following day, which is the New Year Day. So in the first day of the first lunar month, we call Chinese New Year Day. And that day in the morning, typically we exchange greetings between friends, relatives and family members. So if we are not together, we just call each other. So pretty much the whole morning, you just are busy with receiving calls from your friends or relatives, or you're calling other people. So that's and then that's morning and afternoon, and we also make some time, I mean, squeeze some time to visit our local relatives to have another feast.
Oh, how nice. So it's so New Year's Day is really a day of visiting and connecting, yes, with your friends and other family members.
Yes, yes. The holiday festival lasts 15 days. So from first day of the first lunar month until 15th of the first lunar month. So Lantern Festival is a mark for the ending of the Chinese Spring Festival.
Can you describe that?
Lantern Festival takes place in the 15th of the first lunar month, and it's about 200 years B.C. At that time, Buddhists became very popular in China, and one of the emperors gave an order to light lanterns in order to popularize this Buddhism and everywhere in every family's house, you know, to worship and show respect for Buddha. So on the 15th day of the first lunar month, since then, every year, red lanterns can be seen in the street, house, yeah, stores. So it's a symbol of, actually it's a symbol or mark of the ending of the Chinese New Year festival, Spring Festival.
And how do the lanterns look?
It's a red, round, with candle. Yes, yeah, beautiful. On that day, you can watch line dance, walking on stilts. On streets.
A lion on stilts?
Yeah,
that's a
yeah.
Big lion.
it's not real lions. One actor manipulates a small lion made of quilts, resembling a real lion. But other two person acting like a big line. So one manages the head, another one manages the rest of the body. And so you under guidance from a director and then the lions can jump, can leap, and can do different difficult acts, such as walking on stilts. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. Very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. So on the last day, you have the red lanterns and you have the lion dancing in the street. Cindy said that this time of the Chinese New Year always makes her think of her parents, and she misses being with them at this time. She does celebrate the New Year with her own family here in Ames, and I was kind of surprised to hear that they're able to watch the same TV show called Gala that she used to watch in China with her family.
Here, actually, in Ames, we don't have that big atmosphere to celebrate Chinese New Year. I cannot gather with my sister's family, my parents, because they're all in China. So in my family, I have two children and my husband. We will just, also prepare a good dinner feast for our own family. And then we watch gala from YouTube. So we still get together after dinner and we watch the TV gala.
On YouTube?
Yes, on YouTube, yeah.
So that's another example of how the internet has unified the planet and made a smaller world. I was first a little bit confused about how they were able to get the show on YouTube in real time, but then I realized China is a whole day ahead of us, and so there's time. So they use time to their benefit to be able to see Gala on their New Year's Eve. So it was very interesting to hear about that. So Sinian Zen Durbin is with me here. She's another resident of Ames, a highly esteemed resident of Ames that came originally from China. So what region of China did you come from?
I'm from the due south of the country. It's like Louisiana to U.S.
Okay. Are you from an urban or a rural area?
Kind of suburban.
Suburban.
It's not from the city, but it's not far from the city.
And would you describe a Chinese New Year's memory that you have from your childhood?
Yeah, after we talked, I was going through the journey of my Chinese New Year's in China. There are two periods that I have very different experience. When I was very young, there was a period of prosperity, peace, and very stable and joyous, I remember. But there's another period. After that, there was a famine. There was the Chinese Cultural Revolution. People were going through a very difficult time.
And how old were you then?
I was in my teens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. However, under those circumstances, I have very, very fond memories of that particular festival because it's, now that I think back, it's all about family. Even though we have a little of in the second period, the familial love preserves. And I always think about, really, and now I have an order of magnitude of what I have compared to when I was young. But it is just the rekindling with family and the community. And just give you an example, for during the difficult time, we basically have pork only twice in a year. One is in the middle of the year, the other is during the Chinese New Year. And this very limited, we are very deprived. But with that little pork, that's only two times in the year we have. It's just such a joyful experience staying in the kitchen with my grandmother. When she's cooking, we were watching.
Excited about the pork.
Right, and using the hot-burning stove to cook the wonderful food.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little, but we have a lot.
Because you had family.
That's right. And, expecting the arrival of New Year is something, it's similar to like opening the event calendar here. We have nursery rhymes for the last month of the Lunar Year. And every day you sing that. It's like we are one day closer to the New Year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember vividly with my sister, we were preschool-aged children back then. We were standing at some high point in the village waiting for my uncle coming back from Shanghai, where he went to college. Other rituals and celebrations similar to what Cindy described, because Cindy also more from the southwest mm-hmm. region. Mm-hmm. We ate rice cake also.
Rice cake.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. The dragon dance, lion dance at that time, it's a common form of practice in the community.
Mm-hmm. And the dragon and the lion dance, that's really something that's performed in the streets in the
yes.
all over town.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think Jing Tao was talking about wearing everything new.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, we have. My mother always, she's busy. She's a physician, and she sold new clothes for us through midnight and make sure next morning that her children would have the new clothes.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really nice. Well, thank you so much for sharing that
sure.
with us. And you are going to come back on Monday and talk some more about this with us. On Monday, I'd like to hear how you celebrate New Year's now in the United States with your family. We have a little bit of music to go out with.
Yeah, it's Chinese New Year music. It's very, I call it profoundly endearing to Chinese mm-hmm. hearts.
Profoundly endearing.
It's very festive. For some, and some are very deep and reflective.
Okay,
so this one is the celebratory type of music.
So this is to welcome in the Year of the Monkey. Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Thank you for being with us today. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, and I have been with Cindy and Zeng Durbin talking about the Chinese New Year's, and we're going to continue with that on Monday, too, with the celebration of the Year of the Monkey. But now we have Susan Guiasta has just come in, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames, and you've joined us for monthly update on civic life. Thank you for coming, Susan. It's always a pleasure when you come in.
Good morning.
What is in store for February in Ames?
Well, I should probably mention with our recent snowfall, probably the biggest number of calls we're getting recently has been about sidewalks that have not been properly cleared.
Oh, okay.
This seems to be a common theme.
We talked about this last time
we
you were
did,
here.
So it's a good time for a reminder. And that is that after the end of a snowfall, property owners have 10 daylight hours to clear their walks. And this is important to remember because those are transportation routes for many in our community. They're using them for recreation, to walk the dog, but they're also using them as commuter routes to
That's
get
right.
to school or to work.
That's right.
And so it's very important to keep those walks clear. The recent snowfall we had with wet snow followed by dry snow created really icy circumstances. So those walks can be dangerous. There could be some refreeze.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really best, and it's, again, not just a little one pass with the shovel. You need to clear them.
The whole sidewalk.
The whole sidewalk, the 3 to 4 foot width, whatever the width of the sidewalk is, so people can safely pass. And so I want to remind people, it is a complaint-driven system that if you notice a walk that's not cleared and you feel that it's dangerous or it impedes your transportation route, call that in. We have a dedicated phone number that you can call in addresses that are not cleared. That number is 515-239-5468. Again, 515-239-5468 with the address. And I as much as we would love to go out and inspect the entire length of Lincoln Way, it really can't be a block or between this street and this street. We need actual addresses because those correspond with property owners. And what happens is when you call that in, or you can also send us an email, and that email is snowwalks. So it's the word snow, walks, and with the word walks together. So it's snowwalks at city.ames.ia.us. You can also send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. Those are both at City of Ames, and send us addresses, and we will go check them out. That just begins the process of an inspector that needs to go out and inspect the walk. Sometimes between the time it's reported and the time the inspector gets out there, it has been cleared. But if not, an inspector posts notice that the walk needs to be cleared. That gives the property owner 24 hours to clear it. If not cleared in that time, the city contracts out with private snow removal companies, and the walk will be plowed for them, and they will be charged the cost plus an administrative fee. So it's not a cost-effective way to do your shoveling.
Right.
you want to get out there and do it yourself. Mm-hmm. But we are starting to get many of those calls. They're coming in, and we're going to send inspectors out. They're going to check those addresses out and make those postings. So the process does take a little time. But I do remind people, if you've made a call about an address and you don't see some resolution in a few days, go ahead and call it back in. So we'll get to it. But that's just another important reminder. It's just remembering to be kind and respectful for other people in the community, and the fact that they need to use that sidewalk and it should be cleared. So we had a lot of snow.
Yeah, and people do fall.
And people do fall. We wanted to have a safe community for all types of commuters, for bikers, walkers, as well as drivers. We're working on those streets. We continue to work. As I came in this morning, plows are still out removing snow from business districts. Mm-hmm. So we're out doing our part, and we really need residents to pitch in with us and help.
Right. Yeah. Yesterday morning was very sunny, and it really looked like a Christmas card out there. It's very beautiful.
The snow has been very pretty, and there's been some of those postcard moments, and I hope people have taken a moment to appreciate it.
The little sparkles in the snow. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the wet, dry snow kind of mix. Very pretty, but can be difficult to remove.
Dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So just some other things. It was a big week for the City of Ames. We have a new assistant city manager. We welcome Brian Phillips to our administrative team. Brian isn't a new employee. He's been at the City of Ames for more than 5 years now. He came to us as an intern, was an Iowa State University graduate student studying public administration, and since that time has sort of learned the city structure through his work, first as an intern and then as a management analyst. He's worked with a lot of outside groups through the asset process, and we've had nothing but rave reviews since announcing his appointment. We're very excited that he is with us and taking over that position. Of course, when you promote from within, that just leaves another hole to fill.
Right.
So we will be looking for Brian's replacement. But it gives me an opportunity just to remind people in Ames and around the Ames area that we do have good jobs, and we're constantly looking for employees. So please look at our website at cityofames.org/jobs. You can find the listings of city positions that are open. We are in the midst right now of a police recruitment. We are constantly looking for police officers as well as firefighters. And it's an interesting, for some people, a second career. Maybe they have done something for a couple of years and thought it's not the best fit. It's interesting when I talk to some of our police officers, some of the backgrounds that they come from. We've had teachers who have said, I did teaching for a couple of years, and I wanted to try something different. We've had people from all walks of life look at both firefighting and police officer as maybe something else to try, and they are both jobs that require a really broad skill set. I could never tell you this is exactly the skill set we need for a police officer or a firefighter, because there's so many different personalities and people that fill those jobs. If you're at all interested, please take a look at our materials on the website. And
what is the exact job that opened up because of Brian?
So he was the management analyst. Uh-huh. So it's much more sort of gathering data, writing reports, studying larger, big picture problems. And so, we'll continue to look for that job. And that one hasn't even been posted yet, but it will be shortly. Mm-hmm. And as well as we are constantly recruiting in our Parks and Recreation Department. This is the time we're looking at filling those slots coming up in the summer for swimming pools and for camps. And so there's just a range of positions right now available at the City of Ames. I consider us a very good employer.
Well, I guess so, you are an employee there, so you
I am.
And where are these jobs posted again?
So you go to cityofames.org/jobs.
Okay.
And or you can go and look in our mega menu and go to the HR department. Either way, we'll get you to employment opportunities with the City of Ames. Always something, sort of a constant. Please check it out. And maybe we have a job that meets your skill sets. As long as we're sort of talking about things coming up in the city, I would like to remind everybody President's Day is coming up, and that is a day that the City Hall and most city offices are closed. I know that one kind of throws people because not everybody has it off. It is a federal holiday. That's Monday, February 14th. It's the day right after Valentine's Day. But although city offices are closed, the community center, which is located in City Hall, typically stays open. Cyride runs on a regular schedule, and this is kind of a unique one, but the Story County Clerk office, which is located in City Hall, is also open. Hmm. The county and the city don't always have the same holidays. Hmm. So that can be confusing for people. But just a reminder, if you have business at the City of Ames on Monday, February 15th, you won't find us. You'll have to visit us on Tuesday.
Okay.
So we have some we have the Historic Preservation Awards coming up.
Mm-hmm.
This is an annual award that the Ames Historic Preservation Commission awards to structures in Ames that meet certain criteria. So if you have a building that has had some work done to it, it looks at historic rehabilitation, restoration, preservation, or adaptive reuse, and the structure must be at least 50 years old. And you
I just got to say, I'm going to apply for the Ames Fantorium. Hear that, Dennis Jones?
Yeah.
We're going to put your building in there.
Well, I think
readapted
is
a good
downtown.
Description.
Absolutely.
It's a good description of what we're doing here. We certainly went from, dry cleaning to radio.
So if you're downtown a lot, you'll notice there has been a lot of wonderful rehabilitation work done downtown. I've never seen the downtown look so good as it looks now. And these awards, are established to recognize it is a lot of work. I've lived in older homes, and what seems like an easy project with an older home can lead to unexpected surprises, but also that craftsmanship, that uniqueness of the building, of the structure of the home, it just can't be matched.
Right.
It's just, there's so much character. And when you see a rehabilitation done the right way, it is just the most impressive thing.
Mm-hmm.
These buildings are built to last, and they will. And the Historic Preservation Commission is looking to recognize that. So there is information on our website. You can go to cityofames.org and under the departmental menu, go to planning. So this is coming from our planning division. You can get more information about the nomination. It's about a one-page nomination. It's not extensive, but it does ask for photos, which, a picture's worth 1,000 words.
And what's the deadline?
The deadline is 5 p.m. on Friday, February 12th. And so get those nominations in. You don't have to own the building to nominate a building. You simply have to be able to fill out the application. And like I said, it's not extensive. Take a look. And if you know that there's a building that would fit that criteria, go ahead and turn it in.
Well, I'm definitely going to do that for our building.
Now, I think we talked about this last time, but again, it just reminds me because we have the same deadline. 5 p.m. February 12th is also the deadline to apply to serve on a city board or commission.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, those applications are not coming in at a fast clip. I know some people wait till the last moment, and that's okay, but it does make us a little nervous. You know, these positions are so important. They're advisory to the city council. They give Ames residents, and you have to be an Ames resident to apply, but they give you a chance to get involved in local government, make a difference, and give back to your community. And particularly if you have an interest in public art or parks and recreation or the library board, this is an opportunity to get involved in those specific departments, divisions, or areas of expertise and share your thoughts. And also, you're privy to a lot of information, and you can make decisions that really affect the way that an organization like the library does business. It's really important, and we get great people on these boards and commissions. And there is no compensation. You are truly a volunteer. But for some people, this ends up being a stepping stone for even a bigger role in government. Many of our city council members have served on boards and commissions in the past, and certainly you don't have to aspire to hold city office. But if you were ever interested, this is a great way to kind of dip your toes in the water and get a sense of what that's about. So those applications are available on our website. We do like to drive a lot of people to our websites because there's so much information, but you can get that at cityofames.org/cityclerk, and you can find those boards and commissions applications. You can also find a description of the 18 boards and commissions and information on which ones have vacancies and who is eligible to be reappointed.
Okay.
We do have a lot of people going off this year in particular. Most people are eligible for two terms, but for various reasons, they can't always fulfill mm-hmm. a second term. So not only do we not have a lot of applications coming in, we do know we're going to lose a lot of people. So I cannot stress enough that we would love to see your name in that mix.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to feel needed, this is a good opportunity for that.
Absolutely. So I have kind of a fun outdoor activity if you're hardy and like to be outside and when it's windy and cold and winter and snowy. And I have to say that's not me, but a lot of people do enjoy that. We are going to be in partnership, Ames Parks and Recreation, in partnership with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, is hosting a family-friendly ice fishing event at Ada Hayden Park on Saturday, February 6th from 11:30 to 2 p.m. So, and if you've never seen the trout, this is a trout stocking event, and if you've ever seen those trout rolling into the lake, it's something pretty impressive. The DNR comes and they release approximately 2,000 fish into the lake, into the north end of the lake, and they come shooting down into the water, and it is a very popular event. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of people come, lots of adults and children. You do have to have some type of fishing licenses, and there's information on that on our website as well as the DNR website. But it is fun, even if you don't fish, to come watch. It is on nice days. You'll see, just like I said, hundreds of people that gather at the lake and either watch the ice fishing or participate in it. And I'm amazed at how many children really do enjoy this. I don't know, Ursula, were you a fisher person?
I was not a fisher mm-hmm. person, but my last boyfriend was.
Yeah. You know, it's some people find it to be calming and soothing and relaxing. Mm-hmm. I just don't like being cold, but right. I do like fishing. I like the concept of fishing in warmer months.
Right.
I had a grandfather that would take me fishing, and I...
Well, he was all about battling big fish in the ocean, so it wasn't about calm and relaxing.
Oh,
it was about...
Well, that's sort of a different thing. Ice fishing, I think, is an activity for those
meditative.
Who have a lot of patience.
Yeah, it's kind of meditative.
And who like to be... People get out on the ice, they drill in their holes, and... I would just rather, as the fish were coming in, you could just grab one then. But no, you actually have to catch it. So, so there's information again on our website. There are some rules. Remember that there are fishing licenses that are required. There's a trout fee for to possess the trout, but those regulations change a little bit for children under 16. So you can look at our website for more information if you're interested. Again, that event is Saturday, February 6th from 11:30 to 2 p.m. That is a partnership project between the Iowa DNR, also Story County Conservation, Iowa State University, and Jack's Outdoors and Hy-Vee. And so there'll be activities and things going on there. People from Jack's, I believe, will help clean the fish, which I guess a lot of people like to catch them but not clean them. So you'll have some assistance there. This is a stocking of Ada Hayden is part of the Urban Lakes Trout Program, which is a program that wants to introduce trout fishing to more anglers across the state. So urban trout stocking typically occurs between October and April. So we're right in the middle of that time frame, and the cool weather stockings provide easy access for trout fishing opportunities in areas that cannot support trout fishing during summer months. So this is one of those rare opportunities to get in there. I really enjoy Ada Hayden, and I have to admit that I don't get to Ada Hayden enough in the cooler months, but it is just as beautiful out there, and mm-hmm. you just see a different kind of experience, and it's not as busy, so mm-hmm. it's usually a little quieter, although I will say for this event, Things will be hopping.
Yeah.
So a couple other projects we have going on at the City of Ames. We are going to begin shortly a Lincoln Way corridor study. So if you think about Ames on the map, if you sort of visualize Ames on the map and you think about what is the one road that cuts Ames completely in half from east to west, and it's Lincoln Way. It goes completely across the city. And if you've ever driven Lincoln Way from east to west, you will see that the Lincoln Way corridor supports a variety of uses. And as mm-hmm. you come in from the east, it's very industrial. And then it sort of cuts through the commercial districts of downtown and then right in the heart and soul of ISU campus. And as you head out west, there's a little bit more residential on a couple more commercial pockets. And then you head on your way towards Boone. It's an interesting street, mm-hmm. a lot of history to it. And I think our planning division is involved. They've hired a consultant to work on how can we look at that corridor in a comprehensive way and do some planning. And the first step of this is there will be a city council workshop at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 16th, where our consultants will be Skyping in, talking a little bit about this project, the Lincoln Way Corridor Study. There will be – this is just the start of it. It will be a – it will go through the entire year of 2016, and public input is a big part of this study. But as you look at it, the project will explore the needs of pedestrians, bicyclists, transit riders, as well as developing revitalization strategies and standards. So as you drive that, what are those components that might tie that together? Are there landscaping opportunities, redevelopment opportunities? As we said, it cuts quite a path through the community.
So it sounds like kind of an upgrade for Lincoln Way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's really looking at, I think overall, a lot of our projects look at aesthetics. How can mm-hmm. we improve the look and feel of our community? Is it working the way that it needs to be working? And this is an opportunity, again, to do a comprehensive study and make and lay the foundation for future growth and development.
Okay. We're going to have to close the show in about a minute. So let me know if there's anything else that you
want. Well, I just want to do put in a quick plug. The Eco Fair, our annual sustainability conference,
absolutely.
Is April 2nd. So mark your calendars now from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That'll be held at the Community Center Gym. It's a great opportunity. It's family friendly and it's free. Lots of information and education about things like reducing your carbon footprint, water conservation, electric conservation, and getting ready for spring.
Thank you, Susan. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And thank you for joining us today. I've been your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with Susan Guiazda, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames, and I look forward to seeing you in a month.
It's always great to be here.
Earlier in the show, I had a special co-host, Zinian Zhang Durbin, who was here to share the Chinese New Year with you, and we heard excerpts from interviews with two other Chinese residents of Ames, Jing Tao Wang and Cindy Yu, and we thank them for sharing their memories. really enjoyed speaking with you. Local Talk is on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. You can also listen to the entire Local Talk show and all past Local Talk shows online at our website, KHOI-FM. That's KHOIFM.org. Blah. There you will also find information about the people you heard today and some of the links that Susan gave. We'll be sure to add those. Local Talk was engineered by Jonah DeGeese. Thank you, Jonah. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards with their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, which means that you can be part of our team as a volunteer reporter if you wish. It's a lot of fun. And if you would like to join the team, contact us at 292-2878 or through our website, khoifm.org. If you've enjoyed this show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as the audience is what makes KHOI possible and meaningful. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.